Good morning, Calvary Church. So my name is Bridget. I am the Assistant Director of the Women's Program in Teen Challenge Rhode Island. We're in Providence. So I'm just very grateful to be here. I walked through the doors of Teen Challenge myself only 4 years ago, and it's by the grace of God that I have this title that he has given me, right? Because that's all it is a title. So I was much like the stories you're going to hear. Broken, miserable. I struggled with 17 years of drug addiction, 12 years of in and out of relapse and recovery, successfully completing 27 secular programs without Jesus, you know, going with God of higher power, which I didn't understand. I found myself in the midst of a heroin and crack addiction, homeless. You know, I had attained everything. I had a three-bedroom house. I made $75,000 a year doing, like, aesthetics and body waxing and stuff by the time I was 25. So all my worldly desires were met. They were filled. And yet I was still, like, climbing this ladder of, like, a never-ending ladder. So when I found myself homeless, in and out of jails instead of rehabs, it was then that Jesus met me in a chapel service while I was incarcerated. And 2 days later, I wound up at Teen Challenge, which I didn't even know what it was. I said, Teen Challenge. I said, listen, I'm not a teenager. I think that's going to be a problem, you know? And I remember my prayer being like, okay, God, Jesus, they played Passion of the Christ. I was like, I don't know why there's two of you, but I don't know who I talk to. I'm kind of all done here. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And since I walked through the doors of Teen Challenge 4 years ago, like, one thing that has stayed in my life is that my will is no good. Every time I do what I want to do, I wind up back in that circle. So I made that promise to God and myself that I will do his will no matter what it costs, no matter what it takes. And it's painful at sometimes. Amen? It's painful. So I'm very, very proud to announce, you know, I got married in June. Like, God is doing amazing things in my life when I never even saw myself worthy of marriage. As a woman running around in drug addiction and everything else, what that looks like out there, it's just like something that the world tells you you're unworthy. But that's not who God calls me today. I'm worthy, I'm redeemed, I'm free. And he does the same for them, and he does the same for you. So how many people have heard of Teen Challenge here? Okay, let's go. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So I'm just going to go through a couple statistics. So our program is about $30,000 per year for a resident. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sounds really loud to me up here. Okay, so the difference between our program and a regular rehab is that a regular rehab, they'll charge your insurance like $30,000 a month. And with us, it's $30,000 a year to meet these girls' needs. And they're treated like dignified, worthy women. They're taken out on outings. Like, I know regular rehabs, we don't go anywhere. You're in there, and that's it. Everything looks the same. It's wood, no color, no beauty. It's just the same. So we do things a little differently here. And I just wanted to share, like, the statistics. It's not up there, but the statistics from 2019 of opioid overdoses was 73,000. 2020, 93,000. So that's a year, you know, with the home order, with COVID, we went up 20,000. Okay, but I know what also is not up there is alcohol deaths. For the year of 2020 was 95,000. So we hear of Narcan saving lives, and it does. But we can't forget that ever-present alcohol that's just very readily available and socially acceptable. You know? So just keep that in mind, that 93 and 95, that's like half or what, a quarter of COVID deaths, right? Just, and that's all the time. So the Teen Challenge difference is that we're Christ-centered, resident first, biblical principle, family counseling. It's affordable. We give life coaching. We offer apprenticeships for after you graduate the program, so you're not just like, go home now, see you later. Like, it's you more freedom and, you know, it's a positive impact. I did 2 apprenticeships myself. That's a whole year, you know, of just learning how to like live. Now, I knew how to live before because I was able to function, but like living biblically, living like a Christian, living like a Christian woman, very different than the worldly standard of which I once lived by. So this, we're proud to announce, is the Women and Children's Home. We have all the funding to buy it and make it. We can house 5 women who have 2 children each, so 10 children. Which is, praise God, because a lot of women that don't make it into the program is because they have young children at home. That's a fact. How many of you ladies have children? So we're praying, be prayerful with us in a property in Massachusetts, a property in Rhode Island. It's easier to build in Massachusetts with the permits and stuff than it is in Rhode Island. So be prayerful with us and keep us in mind. Then lastly, well, this isn't lastly, but we have all of our products out there. I know you guys love these t-shirts. These are limited edition. I'm sorry. We don't have any more. Next year, when we come back, we'll have those. But we do have all the carpenter shop. Those are handmade by the men's homes in New England. And that's just like a really awesome thing that they have a trade that teaches them how to use their hands and carpentry and manual labor. They can leave with a skill. Us women, we hand make all the jewelry. And, you know, it's just something that while we're processing our thoughts that we get together and we just like bead these jewelry and we just fellowship amongst one another. It's a heartfelt, meaningful gift. And it's a way that we give back to you as you give to us. So up there is Sober Peer. It's a new digital platform that is available on apps. And if you're, it's much like kind of like Celebrate Recovery, sort of, except you have groups available to you. You have counselors available to you, faith coaches, life coaches, whatever you're looking for is available to you through that app if you wanted to check it out. And how many of you love us? You love Teen Challenge, right? All right, so then you can certainly like us on Facebook, right? Amen? You can like us on Facebook. We have all the testimonies. We have when we get new residents come in, and we have our program pastor, Pastor Robin, and she does Power Hour every Tuesday, so it's like a live service. If you need a little pick-me-up during the day, 9:30, and it's just a way for you to connect with us and to stay connected, see what we do, see what if you want to give, where your money goes, and what we do there. So that brings us to Dollar a Day Resident Sponsorship Program. What that is you could do $30 a month or a one-time payment of $360, and that helps to really just ensure that we can continue to accept women into our program regardless of where they're coming from, if they can afford it or not. I am actually one of those people. I am a sponsorship resident. My family was all done with me. They couldn't even be bothered to really even, they literally picked me up from jail and dropped me off in Rhode Island. I'm from Long Island. They went in, used the bathroom and left. That's how traumatized I had left my family, that they just like were hoping maybe something. But Jesus is that thing, amen? Like he has set us all free. And that is why I stand here before you, to just be a testimony of that and to be walking with them in their journey. And it is a privilege and a blessing to see God's work in each one of these ladies' lives every day. That is like God's privilege and blessing that he has bestowed upon me. It's just like, I'm so grateful for that. Like, you know, it's in the little things.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Denise. Welcome, Denise. You're going to hear Denise.
Hi, I'm Denise. I am 56 years old. I am from Connecticut. I have been at Teen Challenge for just a little over 2 months. Yeah. God has rescued me from alcohol, cigarettes, a lot of them, and marijuana. And the verse that I'm standing on is Philippians 4:6-7, which says, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything and all things through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, make your needs be known to God, and that the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So I picked that verse because I am an anxious person and I have anxiety. So as that wells up in me, it's my favorite verse that I can meditate on and repeat until God kind of gets a hold of my emotions, my mind, and my soul, and brings me that peace that surpasses my understanding. And so I'm grateful and thankful. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Melissa. I am 29 years old. I grew up in a really wonderful church. I went to a Christian school. My parents worked at the church. My dad was a pastor. And I could never understand why I always felt so empty inside. I went through all the motions. I did great in school. I played sports. I served on the worship team. I served in children's church. But for some reason, I always just felt like I could never do enough. And I just was completely empty inside. I had horrible self-esteem. So when I became an adult, I left home. I left church behind. I left God behind. And I wanted nothing to do with any of it. And I went out in the world basically trying to find something to fill me. And what I found was I became heavily addicted to alcohol, heavily addicted to drugs, pills, anything I could get my hands on, marijuana, everything. And I did somewhat function okay. I went to college. I had two different careers. But I was always still just completely empty inside. In December of 2019, I went to check on my brother, and I found him dead. He had overdosed on cocaine that he thought, well, what he thought was cocaine, but it was actually fentanyl, and it killed him. He was one of those deaths described in the statistics. And at that point, it just really shook me because we had grown up together in church, and I felt like God abandoned me. I even more so just didn't want anything to do with him. So I spiraled. I ended up in the hospital twice. And the second time, I realized, like, I was all done. And I didn't want my parents to go through what they did when my brother had passed away. That was the first thing. But then I just cried out to God, and I said, God, you know what? I'm done. I know you're real. I've grown up knowing you're real my whole life. But at that point, he actually became real to me. And I said, God, I'll do whatever it takes, because I don't want to feel like this anymore. And 2 days later, I came to Teen Challenge. So that was a little over 9 months ago. So since then, since I walked in the door, I felt so loved by everyone, but I still was just so hardened. I went through the motions just like I had done my whole life. I had a lot of Bible knowledge, and I thought that if I sounded good and I looked good, everybody would just buy it, and maybe I could go home. They didn't, especially Bridget. She knew, saw right through me. 3 months into my program, they said we were going back to the church that I grew up in. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. But God moved in my heart. I ended up going. And God met me while I was sitting in that pew waiting to go up on stage. And God really said to me, you said you'd do anything. This is what I'm asking you to do. Get up. So I got up and I shared my testimony. And that was my first real encounter with God besides that hospital bed. I knew I could actually hear God's voice, and I obeyed it. So I got up, I shared my testimony, and that was just like the beginning of my journey of healing and freedom. And I'm just so thankful to be here. The verse that I stand on is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it is by grace through faith that you have been saved. This is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. Because I could never do enough, I still can never do enough to earn God's grace. It's a gift. And I'm so blessed. I'm still like learning and moving on this journey of just like receiving that gift. I hope to stay on as an apprentice once I'm done here. And I'm just so thankful for what God's done in my life. Thank you.
Thank you. where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You were my rescue story, lifting me up from the ashes, carrying my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You are my rescue story. You are my rescue story. You are. You were writing the pages before I had a name, before I needed grace. Oh. Songs of redemption, 'cause every time I ran away, you were louder than my shame. And now where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You are my rescue story, lifting me up from the ashes, carrying my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You are my rescue story. You never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You are my testimony.
My name is Bianca. I am 29 years old, and I have been at Teen Challenge for 2 months now. So God has delivered me from the addiction of heroin and crack cocaine, and the verse that I choose to stand on is from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, where he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock." The reason why I chose this verse is because for me, hearing the words of God and putting them into practice helps me stand firm, endure, and persevere through any type of hardships. So no matter how big the storm is, no matter how heavy the rain falls down on me, and no matter how hard the wind blows on this house to try to knock it down, I will not fall, because this house has its foundation built on God, who is the rock. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, church. My name is Hope. I am 45 years old. I've been at Teen Challenge for a little over 7 months now. God has rescued me from domestic violence, where I was mentally and physically broken down by my ex-husband for years. I finally got the courage to leave him, which my daughter and I moved in with my dad and my mom, which my dad had stage 3-4 colon cancer, which me and my daughter got to spend about 15 months with my dad before he passed. Well, after he passed, I ended up using methamphetamine. And about a year in, my mom took custody of my daughter. Then I wound up in jail. And I reached out to my mom, which my mom told me that she was about ready to call the morgue, which she could have took my death, but my daughter was not in a good place. So I came to Teen Challenge, very dead and broken. I had no voice. I didn't love myself. I hated myself for everything that I did, which God is restoring my relationship with my mom and my daughter today. Today I'm developing a voice, which I'm loving myself. I grew up an only child, which now I have a house full of women. I have great leaders that uplift me, and everybody uplifts me here. And I just love, I'm so grateful today. And the Bible verse I stand on is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. God bless.
All right, we're going to sing Old Church Choir. If you want to stand, you can.
Yes, you can get into the
Like a wildfire in my heart, Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long.
Can you hear it?
Good morning, I'm Caroline. I am 43 years old, and I've been at Teen Challenge a year this week. I am so grateful, you have no idea. I stand before you radically transformed from the inside out through only the love, mercy, and grace of Jesus Christ. Before coming into Teen Challenge, I was wrapped in bondage from childhood trauma, neglect, abuse, and I just let that drive me to chase anything, people, money, relationships, material things, just to fill those spots that were so broken and so empty. Nothing could fill it. I found myself eventually wrapped in a spiral of drugs and alcohol, everything and anything just to like take me out of myself. Eventually in and out of hospitals, numerous detoxes, psych wards, every diagnosis from PTSD, bipolar to schizophrenia. And that gave me peace momentarily because I was like, I can take something for it, something outside of myself again, you know? Nothing worked and I was emptier every single time. And I found myself, I had actually given birth to a beautiful baby boy at 36 years old, and even that could not keep me from destroying myself and anyone I came in contact with. My family had given up on me, and then I gave up on me. I found myself once again suicidal. I was laying in a bed that wasn't mine, crying out to God, am I always gonna be like this? Will I always be an addict? Why can't I just stop? And I couldn't stop. God stood over me the whole time. He said, get up. He said, I have a plan for you. He said, I'm going to take everything the enemy meant for evil and use it for good. And God made a way for me to come through Teen Challenge. I was one of those sponsorship, I'm a sponsorship child here. I didn't have money. My family wasn't going to finance another rehab for me. So God made a way through this program. This place is a vessel he uses in a mighty way, and I'm so grateful for it. So I walked in, and I was like still kind of unsure. I had a window of hope. Maybe this could be different. But that doubt was there, you know. But the people that God put and placed in that home at that time have really started to love me back to life through him. Through him. He uses people to do these things. And so I had to learn the basics, literally, brushing my teeth, putting on clean clothes, getting out of bed. I didn't have to count to no one for so long. So to learn these basic things, the structure, it was painful. It was hard. I remember walking up and down the stairs like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I didn't. God did. So little by little, he started working out the kinks in my heart of unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, and also beginning to restore the relationship of my son that I had lost custody of when he was 18 months old through FaceTime phone calls that I didn't even think was going to be possible. But God makes a way when you feel like there is no way. And so for the first time in 3 years, I got to visit my son in Virginia a couple weeks ago. He has started that reunification process. It's not been easy, but he has a plan for everything. So I'm so grateful for that, and I'm just grateful. I plan on staying on as an apprentice just to continue to let God do the work through me, because it doesn't finish just because you graduate. That's just the beginning. It doesn't end until we meet him. So the verse I stand on is Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for a hope and a future.
All right, my turn, right? You sure now? I'm not really sure. Hi, I'm Brittany. I'm 35 years old. God has rescued me from cocaine, prescription pills, alcohol. I've been with Teen Challenge for about 2 months now. Thank you. The scripture that I stand on is Psalm 107:17. Some of you were sick because of the lives you'd lived, your body feeling the effects of your sins. I was an addict, couldn't stop. It was always, I'll stop using and drinking so much next week. I'm fine, I got this. It wasn't until I was diagnosed with stage 2 psoriasis at 34 that I realized it was time to change. It needed to stop. Walking through the doors of Teen Challenge made the impossible possible for me. I was at the end of myself, and I was ready for God's solution. Yes.
Amen. Are you going to sing I Got Saved? If you want to stand, you can.
Plunged beneath the flood and God saved.
since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved.
As we can, even though he really doesn't need our help, but you know, he puts vessels in place just to introduce us to the right people at the right time. That's you, that's us, and he saved all of them. The 30 days I'm leaving, that's it, I'm all done. Okay, I'm definitely not testifying at my home church, you're out of your mind. I can't even walk up this flight of stairs right now for like weeks. Also, the other one, I'm not working out. This is impossible. I have COPD. I can't breathe. But God, she walks on the treadmill. She rides that elliptical bike, and she's getting that back. Okay, Bianca had to go to the courthouse to literally talk to the judge and say, I would like for Teen Challenge to give her the same opportunity they gave me. Ripped her. She was not coming. She would take jail time over Teen Challenge. Okay? Hope came in. She was like everywhere but where she was supposed to be. Couldn't even stay still. And Lisa is a testimony. I know you didn't hear much from her, but she has been through the ringer in life, and she's going to get her brand new smile back and everything in August. So, amen. Thank you, guys. Our Dollar a Day sponsorship, again, I know I talked about it, but I'm just going to close with that. We will give you a free devotional book. It's really just a way that you could sow into our ministry as we just continue to pull people from the darkness into the vessel of Teen Challenge. Thank you. And we have a gift for you, Pastor. And your wife.
Oh, thank
Book
you.
7.
So whose stories are in Book 7? Do I know anybody in Book 7?
Probably, maybe.
I might. You know, you don't know this. You probably don't know this, but I am the chairman of the board for New Teen Challenge is trying to go into Harlem. And and we found, you know, New York City's not cheap, you know. It's we may have found a building. We have enough money in our accounts to get us Uber rides around town right now, and in a building $6.9 million. So we'll see what's happening. But you can pray for us. We'll pray for you because we're going back to New York on the 15th, I think, or the 16th. So and we're going to turn to Exodus. We'll do this real quick. We won't keep everybody real long because that was great, and we want to keep the emphasis on what you guys were saying. But we want to work through the Ten Commandments as well, so we're in chapter 20 today, in verse 12. That's it, 12. And you saw the announcement earlier that we have this training for these AES units. You know what those do? What do those do? What is it called? AES? AED. Well, some of us are going to need the AED machines earlier because this message is going to give some of you a heart attack. I guarantee it. Here's what it says. Chapter 12 of Exodus 20 says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." So the Apostle Paul also quotes this in the book of Ephesians, and he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that's right. Honor your father and mother," he puts that in quotes, which is the first command with a promise. With a promise. What's the promise? That it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Anybody here on earth? I didn't always know I was, but I'm back there now. So there's a promise, and the promise is that things will go well with you and that you will enjoy life, the enjoyment of life. So who is this for? This is saying honor your father and mother. So who is this for? Is it one this way? Is it by who, or is it for who? Is it by God to me? Who is this for? Am I on the receiving end of this, or am I on the giving end? I guess I could be on both, right? Is this written to children? The Apostle Paul, when he writes it in Ephesians, he talks about children. He says, "Children, be obedient to your parents." So is this to children? Is this to adults? Communities consist of both, right? Children and adults. Here's a question. At what point do I cease being the child of my parents? Never? Do you want to change that answer? Because I have some issues. No, not really. Well, children and parents and children in society, here's what one writer said about the youth. He said, "The children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders, and they love to chatter in the place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their household. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents. They chatter before company. They gobble up the dainties at the table. They cross their legs. They tyrannize their teachers." That was Socrates. 400 BC. Or Socrates. Who would call it Socrates? You would know. Would you know who calls it Socrates? Bill and Ted call it Socrates. So it's Socrates. So is it to children or is it to adults? At what point do I cease to be the child of my parents? When they abandon me at birth? Does that all of a sudden exempt me? How about when they desert me in searching for pleasure or looking for someone else? Do they cease to be my parents then? When they disappoint me, do they cease to be my parents? High school graduation, college graduation, incarceration, military, getting married, grandparents, at death? At death, do they cease to be my parents? Oh, nobody wants to answer because you're waiting for the zingers, right? Well, at what point do I stop honoring and respecting them? And we're going to get to what about those who don't seem to be worthy of honor. So the commandments are now moving. And they're moving from the Creator to the created. There's two tablets. The first one has to do with worshiping God, and the second one, our relationships with each other. And we looked at the Sabbath that sort of connects those. And so we say it's love God and love people. A lot of people use that one. Love God, love people. But we use the connecting one also, the Sabbath, where it's love life. So love God, love people, and love life. Love life. God wants us to love life. So loving God comes first, and it's going to start with the most, when it gets to the second tile here, it's going to start with the most basic of human and social relationships. A man, a woman, and a baby. Now, a lot of times by the time that baby comes around, there's no more man in the picture. Anybody know anything about that story? But that's where it begins. A man, a woman, and a baby. The foundation of any society begins in the home. All societies are built on homes, built on households. And the family, at least ideally, even if it's not ideal, the family still becomes the first hospital, the first school, the first government, the first church, the home. And so honor, let's talk about how honor is defined so that we can figure out how to do this. Honor is defined as showing approval, showing appreciation, preference, deference, going beyond that which is usual, honoring somebody. Because if I honor somebody by standing up when they come in the room, that's beyond the usual, because usually people are moving in and out of rooms, and if you stand, then you're doing beyond the usual. You're standing for them. And here's the thing about honor. And this is why honor will help you to enjoy life and to live long in life. And so that things will go well for you. If you give honor, things will go well for you. Honor is something that if you give it, you can expect to get something back. You can expect to get something back. Maybe not even from the person you honor. In fact, they might flip it on you. But if you give honor, you'll get something back. What will you get? You'll get enjoyment. You'll get long life, and you'll get a life that goes well. Now, that long life one there, that doesn't mean that tragedy or untimely death won't occur, but that the days of your life will lean towards the pleasant. They'll lean towards the pleasant. And so do you want more goodness in your life? Then give more honor. That's what the command is telling us. You want more goodness? Give more honor. Respect and honor, they're kind of intertwined. They're sort of difficult to separate. You ever use the phrase due honor? They're due honor. So some honor is due simply by the virtue of the position held. Does that make sense? Some honor is due just simply by the virtue of the position held. So it might be that you don't approve of anything that person is doing, but you still honor the position. The position is honored. And you can stand up and you can say, I really disagree with you, Your Honor. But you're honoring the position. You're honoring the position. And you need to do things in such a way that you're honoring the position. It doesn't mean that you're not of a contrary viewpoint, but you honor the position. And so the Bible, the word for honor comes from a similar word that's in the Old Testament that's used for like the glory of God, and it means weight. It's weight. Well, what does that mean? Like honor is weight. The glory of God is weight. What does that mean? Well, for one thing, just the simple answer to that one is, in other words, it's not to be taken lightly. The glory of God is not to be taken lightly. The word honor is not to be taken lightly. That you have a mother and father is not to be taken lightly. That there are people around you in positions is not to be taken lightly. So you could say, wow, Mom, that's heavy. Well, yeah, exactly, it's heavy. You see, it's value, it's esteem, it's respect, it's prizing them. And so when and where do you do this? Where does this honor begin? Where do you do it? Well, honor begins at home. Charity begins at home. Charity begins at home. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The most respect that we should have should be given and received in a home. That's where the most respect should be. That's where we are all the time. That's where we're closest. That's where our closest relationships are. That's where our primary relationships are. But unfortunately, the reality is that homes are often the places of the most disrespect. What we've done is, you don't know this, but we have the ushers at your house right now planting microphones and cameras. And we're going to show them on the screens next Sunday. You know, there's so much disrespect in the homes. And it's fair to say sometimes, you know, you wouldn't talk to your friends like that. You know, you wouldn't get up in front of people and talk like that and say that. Why is it that we feel we can be disrespectful in our own homes to the people that are around us? What did we talk about last week with the Sabbath? You remember that, how the Jewish people for centuries and centuries would have these Sabbath meals with their families, and at a certain time in the meal, the father would get up and he would toast to his wife and say that she's blessed, and he would say it in front of the children. Well, you're supposed to bless Mom in front of the children. You're supposed to honor Mom in front of the children. But there's just so much disrespect. I mean, how many children have seen their mom get smacked? You know, how many kids have heard, you know, just terrible words in the house? So unfortunately, the reality is homes are often places of disrespect. Do we need those heart paddles yet? Maybe soon. You see, in the commandments, there are specific rules. But those rules also just become sort of categories. And so this is honor your father and mother. Well, that's a place of authority. And so the category is honoring authority. Honor moves from the home to anybody in authority, or frankly, anybody. Like who? Like you. Like me. Who should you give honor to? You should give honor to anybody that's in authority. Anybody that's in authority. Well, who are you talking about? How about the usher at the ballpark? How about the usher in the auditorium? You ever go somewhere and the usher's trying to get you somewhere and you're like, no, I'm going to... Just follow the guy. Just follow the guy. Just do what he's telling you to do and be nice about it. And be nice about it. How about the parking lot attendant? The greeter at Walmart? The grocery clerk? Why not just honor them? Just about anybody that you meet in the course of a day. Just honor. If you give honor to them, you'll get it back. You'll get it back in a life that's lived well, enjoyment. You'll feel good about the day. You'll feel good about yourself. You'll feel good about what's going on. God wants us to have a good life, that you might live long, that you might enjoy life in this world. It's okay to enjoy life in this world. And we talked about that a lot last week with the Sabbath, the enjoyment of life. So treat everybody with respect, young and old. This church, we used to go down into Nicaragua, and we were there during the Sandinista Revolution. And I remember really respecting this 14-year-old boy, because there was a revolution going on. We got to the airport, and there was a 14-year-old boy with an AK-47 that told us all, go over there. We all went over there. We respected him. And nobody was dishonoring him. Nobody was giving him any grief. So when do you do it, though? When do you extend this honor? How about now and then for the rest of our lives? That's what it's talking about. How about like now? Start now. If you haven't been doing that, if you haven't been giving honor to people, because it's easy to not give honor. I think that we're in a time right now where honor is being challenged. It's really being challenged. And it's sort of in to be disrespectful. Well, you can be contrary to what's going on and still honor. Peter did when we went through 1 Peter. We talked about Peter teaching us how to live like exiles. How do you live like exiles? He said it's simple. Just love one another, you know, honor the king, you know, live quietly, do what you're supposed to do. What is he talking about? Caesar Nero was there. Crazy. Crazy Caesar Nero. What did we say about Nero? He was married to two boys. One of them he turned into a trans, he used her as a wife. And he needed a new wife because he kicked his wife to death. So he kicked her in the head until she died. And this guy was brutal. Peter says, honor that guy. Well, Peter also disobeyed that guy. So how do you do both? Figure it out. Figure it out in our moment-by-moment existence. So how do you do it? By listening. Proverbs has an awful lot to say about listening to your mother and father. Awful lot. Proverbs tells us to get all the wisdom you can, and it tells us that from listening to your parents' instruction, you can have a good life. Listening to your parents' instruction. I've quoted her a lot of times. Elizabeth Elliot says, the school of hard knocks is overrated. You should have just listened to your mama. I think she's right. I had that on my Facebook. Education School of Hard Knocks, you know, and then I took it off. Oh, no, you know, just listen to mom. Wisdom in Proverbs, I love this in Proverbs, that wisdom is often personified as female in Proverbs. And yet the Bible, the scripture is often criticized by people. They say, oh, you know, the Bible is just, you know, all sexist and patriarchal. Well, the opposite is true, because women are honored throughout, and women are seen, is personified as wisdom often in the book of Proverbs. And it says, listen to your father and your mother. So no sexism going on there. Just listen to him. Okay. But now, the elephant in the room. Because parents and families sometimes bring sadness and disappointment in our lives. And we're talking about honoring. A lot of things, a lot of people in authority are bringing sadness and disappointment in our lives. A lot of people in authority bringing sadness and disappointment. So what about parents that bring disappointment? What about parents that bring sadness? And many times people say, well, I have parents that aren't worthy of honor. Really, why is that? Why is that your parents are not worthy of honor? Is because if you're anything, including able to make those kind of statements, it's because you had a mother. Because you had a father. If you didn't have a mother or father, you couldn't be saying all those things. So if nothing else, you should be thankful that they brought you into this world. And that you have life, and that their life is running through you. They've given it to you. Their DNA is in you. So if nothing else, I'm glad I'm alive. I'm glad my mom gave me birth. And so what do you do if they are dishonorable? What should you do? Anybody want to venture a guess? What should you do if they're dishonorable? You should honor them. Honor them anyway. In fact, if you give enough honor to dishonorable people, they might become more honorable. Including the usher at the ballpark. Because sometimes they're not so nice either. I think I told you last week, the week before, I had, they were paving my road and they had these guys, you know, we got to know a little bit of them by just saying hi, talking to them, how you doing, a little bit about life. And I was going through and this one guy, he was miserable, get on, move along, get through, you know, and I was like, man, you know, you might want to get another job. But I probably should have just been really nice to him. And I should have done exactly as he was asking me to do, just honor him, and maybe it could start to turn his life around as well. So by giving honor to the dishonorable, maybe it changes things. If they're miserable, if they really are dishonorable and they're really miserable, then you might be the only one giving them respect and honor anyway. Because nobody else is. if they're really dishonorable. So let's get practical. How can you honor them? You can honor them by praying for them. Pray for them. I'm a real advocate of praying for people whose names you mention. And I think that's true in every realm. Like if you're going to talk about somebody, do you know that so-and-so, you know? But, well, okay, you know, maybe that's true and maybe we need to just share some factual things and in the context of factual things, you know, their name came into the conversation, but we should pray for them. Let's pray for them. Let's not talk about them. Let's pray for them. So you complain about political powers and authorities. Well, you know, there's a lot to complain about with political powers and authorities. But if you're going to say their name a lot, you probably should pray for them a lot. And if you pray for them a lot, you might be amazed at what changes. And I think sometimes we can change the course of human events, but we always can change ourselves through prayer. You start praying for people, you start caring about them, start caring about their personal life, start learning things about them. So we can honor them by praying for them. And you can tell them that you're praying for them. Now, not everybody thinks that's a great blessing. But if you tell people, hey, I've been praying for you. Sometimes people say that to me. They go, hey, I've been praying for you. And I go, about what? You know what I mean? Like you might need to get my permission before you pray. Like what are you praying for? So you can tell them, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. You can honor them by not getting angry at them or any more angry than you already are, by giving that anger to God. Amen. You can honor them by not hating them. Amen. Flip the script. Here's what Augustine said. You know, however many hundreds of years ago, he said, if anyone fails to honor their parents, is there anyone they won't spare? It just becomes part, it becomes part of our personality. It becomes part of who we are. It becomes part of our soul. And we don't know why we have some of the problems that we have. I had authority problems. You've heard enough of my stories, but I've had so many authority problems. And my dad was a cop. And I've had cops punch me in the face when they were on top of me. So, you know, I've been all over the spectrum with all of that stuff. But I know that until God worked some of that stuff out of me, that man, the association I had with other people because of things in my life, because of rebelling against authority and the bitterness and the man makes you terrible. Makes you terrible. So you need to be careful. I wonder if, you know, the whole thing about dishonor, wonder if it, maybe a little pride thing going on, maybe a little self-righteous, maybe a little bitterness. Here's a scary thing, is if you let go of it, you might lose your identity. So much of who we are is sometimes just tied up in our bitterness, and we're not ready to let go of it, because if we let go of it, we know that it's going to change us, and I'm not ready to change that. So why? For starters, honor honors God. And God honors authority. Is that like amazing to you that like God honors authority? That it says in Romans that there's no authority except that which is from God. Like God honors authority. And if we honor authority, then we're doing what God wants us to do. We're being God-like. Now, that honoring authority, going what's on. Peter said honor authority, and then he preached the gospel when they told him that he would be jailed and killed. And he said, oh, well, that's a line. I have to cross that line. So I'm going to do that. So we're talking about honor now. We're not talking about all of that other stuff. There's always another side. There's always more to it. In fact, some years ago, there were a bunch of college students coming here. They've all graduated now. And I was preaching something, and they came up to me later, because I guess they had some issue going on. You know how in your little circles, you got these little issues going on. Everybody's talking about these things, and you talk about it all the time. And I preached something, and they stopped me in the back, and they said, you know what? They said, that's not all the Bible says about what you just talked about. I said, I know, but it's all that it says there. So right now, we're talking about honor. We'll talk about the other stuff another time. Right now we're talking about honor. It glorifies God. And in the Ephesian passage, it says that honoring your parents is the right thing to do. You just do it because it's the right thing to do. I lived on this street for quite a while, where the street, it came down, one street came down to a dead end, and there was another street that dead ended. So I lived on a dead end street. It just dead ended. Right there, it ends. There's another one that comes down, and it ends right there. And in the middle of the time we were moving there, they came and they put a stop sign at the dead end. And I thought, grandfather rule, I've been here longer than the sign. I'm not going to stop. But you know what? I stopped at the stop sign. Why? It's the right thing to do. And I figured if I didn't, God was going to hold something back from me. You know what I mean? It was a test, you know. Will I stop? Yeah, so I'll stop there. It's ridiculous. That's why we don't do these things. It's ridiculous. Why should I? Just because it's the right thing to do. And if you pass the little test, you'll get the big tests. So stop at the stop sign. So Ephesians says it's the right thing to do. And it's easier for children to do things when they're promised a reward. And so the reward is what? Enjoyment of life, long life, a life that goes well. Finally, we'll close it, right? So we're going to close with a song so the worship team will come up here with us. But finally, God is gracious. God is gracious. And people have failed and people are failing. Anybody here failing on this right now? Want to turn to your neighbor and say, grade yourself. How are you doing? On a scale of 1 to 10, how are you doing with all this stuff? But the saving work of the Spirit. No, you don't really have to do that. the saving work of the Spirit adopts us as orphans. Adopts us sinners as orphans into the best and most important family of all, the family of God. Right? He's inviting us. He's adopting us. And every child of God has this promise. Psalm 27:10. Here's what it says. I wrote it down. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me.
Amen.
Right? Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And so the Lord will receive us. And so the Lord is there for us, and He will give us the power. He will give us the strength to do these things. I know for some of us it's really hard. And for some people it's hard to receive honor. We feel like that we don't deserve it. Well, it might be true. Nevertheless, if you're in the position, you're in the position. So you should receive it. Because by receiving it, you're doing something for the person who's giving it. Give honor. Try it. Try being nice to the person in the parking lot. Try being nice to the person that's waiting on you. Try being nice wherever you are. Just honor those people. You know, thank you very much. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for greeting me at Walmart. You know, thanks. I appreciate it. I mean, they're there to greet you. They don't like it when you just grumpily go by them. Just honor them. Thanks. How you doing? Thanks. So what song are we doing? How He Loves Us. Good. Let's stand and we'll sing this together. And so, God, here we are. You do love us. And Lord, we thank you so much for your love and for your grace and for your deliverance. Lord, we thank you for the power of the new life. Lord, we thank you that we've been born again into a new way of living. And Lord, that we are now in your family. And Lord, we honor you. And you want us to honor one another. You want us to honor mom and dad. Even if they're dead, you want us to honor them. Even if they're dishonorable, you want us to honor them. So Lord, thanks for changing our life and making it, putting us on the most excellent way, the way of love, the higher path. Lord, though I speak in the tongues of men and angels, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I have the faith to move mountains but don't have love, I'm nothing. And Lord, now these remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Lord, thanks for changing our hearts and continue to change them. You know, if you're outside of Jesus Christ, this is the invitation, you know, come home to God. Accept what Jesus did for you. You're a sinner. You haven't given honor to everyone. You broke that one. You broke that commandment. You have not given honor to everybody that you've met and that you've seen. So you're a sinner, separated from God, guilty as charged. And Jesus went to the cross, died for you, shed his blood, took the penalty for your sin. to restore you back to God. And the invitation is just come home. All of you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. Take my cross. It's easy. The burden's light. It's not hard. It's not tyrannical. It's not difficult. It's not miserable. God loves you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He loves you.
I'm unaware of these afflictions. can separate us from this love.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. May you walk in the exchanged life, the transformed life, bringing with you honor and respect, the glory of God, and may the peace of God be upon you in his name. Amen. Okay, there's Keith. Can you give that to me? Make sure you get some food on the way out. There's lots of food, so grab some food.